Hold on tight, Spider Monkey.
That's right. We watched Twilight this week on The Movie Gap, the podcast that has you scream.
How have you not seen that? How have you not seen that? How have you not seen that? How have you not seen that?
How have you not seen that? How have you not seen that?
How have you not seen that? Little darling, how have you not seen that?
Welcome to this week's episode of The Movie Gap. I am your host and only host, Bryce Levi.
Nope.
And as always, the sparkly man who's gonna eat me at any moment, but he showing the restraint even though he wants to because I smell so good, Chase Austin.
Hiya.
To my left, Chase Austin.
Hey.
Okay,
that's me.
Great. Today we are obviously for the longtime loyal listeners, which is all of you. You can tell we have flipped the script. This is another flip the script. Surprisingly, of all the movies I have not seen, this was one I took time out of my day to watch back in the day, and so I had seen this before. But Chase, you had not.
I had not seen this one.
And so this is why we are flipping the script, but I'm burying the lead here because
why would we pick this movie?
We have a very special guest today. I am honored to have her on. I've known her. We did comedy sports back in the day.
No, that's not you.
She went away for a while and now she's back, and we are glad to have her on. please everybody welcome Christine
Wines. Yes.
Wines.
Hello, Bryce. Oh my God, it's been years. It's so
been
nice
so
to
long.
See you again.
Yeah,
you literally just met him on the Zoom.
It's do you remember our last comedy sports show where you only played Nickelback for me as the sound man?
Yep. That was me.
Huh? Yep.
That was
I
me.
Did.
Excuse me?
I did do that. I
can't hear you over my dogs, which I also should take this opportunity. Apologize if the dogs bark.
Oh no, please. We welcome all dog barks. We have soundboards where we do drops that are way stupider than a dog barking. So I think it'll be all right.
The audience will not be able to tell the difference.
Right.
I mean, that's fun. I think you should throw in as many fart noises during this episode as possible.
Thank you.
I think that's hilarious. So.
That will happen.
Go
and
for it.
I will do it now that you've given me the okay. And Chase is screaming
yours.
Internally.
Yeah. Well, she won't be able to hear yours. She can only hear mine.
I know.
So I'm the only one who suffers through it and then the listener.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I welcome it.
So, Christine. Oh, yeah, you couldn't hear that. That was Bryce hitting the laugh track button.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Christy,
you have a podcast that
I do.
You've launched?
I've just started a podcast, this journey for myself. This is an idea I've had for at least 5 to 7 years, and finally getting down to it in the end of the pandemic. Perfect timing. It's called Wines, Wines, Wines. It's a podcast where you drink wine, you whine about things with me, your host, Christine Wines. So far, it's been pretty fun. We have an average of about 10 to 15 listens per episode, which I think is excellent for me doing very little promotion. I'm working with my improv team back for when, so I moved away for the listener. I'm sure they're interested. I lived out of the country for a couple of years, but an old improv team, they've got a whole network. Check them out. Devil's Daughter. Something I should probably be more prepared for this, but they've got a Patreon and such. But yeah, it's been really, really fun to just whine about really silly, inane things, which is what most of my conversations turn into, anyways.
Well, Christine, you are, with all honesty, one of the funniest people I have ever met. So I was very excited that you agreed to do this.
Wow, and you just met her, too. It's crazy.
No,
I was like,
you just met her.
Yes, and Chase.
I saw
yes, and.
Bryce reached out to me and he said, Christine, long time no see. Let's do the pod. And I said, oh my God, Bryce, we're going to get back into it.
I know.
Just get into this corporate life. It's going to be great.
Yep.
I mean, I am truly stoked because I mean, I haven't talked to you in such a long time, Chase, and it's like, the Comedy Sports Houston gang, if I look on comedy especially, definitely one of my favorite times to be a part of an ensemble to do comedy because it was just credit to Diana, but
oh yeah,
such an excellent place to be.
It was so much fun. All right. Yeah. Well, let's get into it, Bryce. You're going to take the reins back.
Sure. Well, actually, I wanted to just ask Christine a little bit more about your improv.
Oh, yes.
Because, like you said, you mentioned you have a group. Are they mm-hmm. are y'all still together? Y'all are still performing?
Well, so I left the U.S. in 2018 and moved down to Sydney, Australia for my fiance's work. I did a little work down there. My fiance and I performed as Two Tall Americans. But before I left, I was on a couple of troupes, Devil's Daughter. They have continued on living. The IO Theater in Chicago actually closed during
that.
The pandemic.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, not under the best circumstances, I would say. Not the greatest management, but
sure.
We're hoping it might get sold, but then again, it's such a large building. But any case, yeah, it was amazing. We performed once weekly, and it was just like long-form Herald stuff. And then I also performed with a team called Great Lakes Activity Center at a smaller theater that's doing okay, I hope. But yeah, I mean, I haven't really done live performance. God, I mean, like everybody, for at least a year now because of the pandemic, which really blows chunks. I've done a couple of Zoom shows. I don't know if y'all have done Zoom improv.
It's not the same at all.
No.
It's not good. It's let's awkward. Call a spade a spade.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so awkward.
It's really tough, but it's also crazy to me. Like, throughout this pandemic, the things that I thought would evolve are like the Zoom capabilities to do a show. They're okay. They've gotten a little better. And similarly, like mask updates, like we're still rocking like the same old, like, let's get some more iteration on this mask
some
new, life.
Some fancy versions. Yeah.
I would love to have something that's like a full helmet. I'm shocked they haven't done that. Like, has there not been enough time? We had to have prepared for this, but I think the PPE game could have been stronger during the pandemic. And I know that will probably rub a lot of physicians the wrong way.
You know,
there's always the next pandemic.
Yeah.
That's
right.
True.
Yeah. We can be more ready for. Yeah. But I agree. We didn't really evolve the game. We've had all this time and we haven't really, I think the most we've evolved it is bejeweling them or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I've seen some where they have like a front flap that kind of comes down and there's a hole for a straw.
Dude, I did see one. That. I did
it's
see
like a
one,
diaper.
But that also kind of defeats flap. The purpose because then you have a hole in your mask.
So. Right. And have you seen the ones where it's like they put a little clear plastic window over the mouth so you can still see their mouth?
How do you not? The breath, that's what I don't understand. Like, you have to have some ventilation. Is there an air conditioning unit?
Yeah.
I've seen some pictures of people that have done plays that way. I know that they do it in high school like that with the clear mask so you could see the face. But then everybody's nose is squished and it gets fogged up anyway. So it's like, maybe just go with the other mask.
Right.
But,
I think I'm fine to, you know, not consume any of the live content for now. Just, it's not worth it to me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But podcasts have thrived, which is
true.
So
very
I just watched a live podcast show for one of my favorite chain restaurant podcasts, The Doughboys, watched their live finale. And I was like, oh, wow, podcasts have a pretty good handle on the event stuff. I think you just have to contract out, which is like, I think for like podcaster like me, I'm still editing on GarageBand at this point and like recording the audio via a PlayStation gaming headset. So I'm like, let's do as little effort as possible. So if I had the money, sure, I'd do way higher production value.
Yeah, I did a live Three Beers and a Mic. That's one of the other podcasts on our network. Cross the Streams Media, look it up. And we did one, and they used, I forget the name of the thing, but there's a podcast server that like, or a streamer thing that basically sets up the Zoom, and it live streams it to other, like to Facebook, to Discord, to
everything.
YouTube, everything live, so... But yeah, it's been fun. So anyway,
Hell yeah. Okay, well, Christine, great catching up with you as always.
so nice to see you.
Yes, absolutely. And I am excited about this episode here, and I know you are, Christine. And I'm mostly excited to hear what in the heck, how mad Chase is about this movie. he's gonna definitely have grumpy old man vibes, I think.
Well, before we get into that, I want so Christine, you picked this movie.
I did.
All right. What? And it was not even a question. It was, I asked, immediate. What movie would you like to do? It was not, let me send you the list.
Yeah.
It wasn't, what kind of movies do you do? You said,
I didn't realize
you
that.
You said, Twilight.
Wow.
Can we do Twilight? And I was like, yes. I'm sure Bryce has not seen it. And at the time, thought I had. I thought I had, because I had seen the last three. But I did not realize which one. I knew I'd seen the end, but I thought I'd saw the beginning. I had not seen the beginning. So anyway, Bryce turns out had seen it, but luckily I had not. So
we saw it in theaters together, actually.
Oh, that's what it was.
That's okay. Right.
Yeah, do go way back.
Back in the day.
Like 12 years ago.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I bought the tickets. She bought the snacks. Mm-hmm. You know, classic arrangement.
Hilarious stuff. Yep. Just one of our old time shenanigans.
It was really, you had to be there. Yeah.
Clearly. Yeah. Clearly. So what is it about this movie that draws you to it? I mean, obviously you saw it in theaters.
I did.
Were you the book reader too?
I read the books. I think Twilight is a great choice for any movie podcast, because depending on who you are, it's a love it or hate it movie, which is, it's always a great choice to discuss. There's no middle ground. One of the things I also think that's very unique specifically about the Twilight, the first one that came out in 2008, because I might actually, after watching it today, I kind of like the ending ones better because they get more illogical. And if you know me, yeah. My favorite media to consume, the more illogical it is, probably the more I'll like it. I enjoy a melodrama, very unashamed. Grey's Anatomy, Vampire Diaries, seen multiple times. Lost, it's buck wild. Love it. I will watch it. So interesting thing, though, Twilight, the book series, came out, I don't even remember, but essentially between the time they decided to make the first Twilight movie and the announcing it and when it came out, people had already turned the tide on the books. So the big thing about the books when they were released was like, oh, it's this beautiful vampire story. Like this, like, you know, this girl, she's kind of nondescript. Like in the book, if you read it back, Bella, she's just like a white girl with brown hair and she's pale. That's about it.
Yeah.
And no other real descriptors about her, but they describe the Cullens like to the nth degree. So it was a very easy read, a beach read, a summer read for like teenagers like myself. But by the time it came out, people were like, oh, this is like grammatically poorly written.
Yeah.
This is a direct allegory to like Stephanie Meyer's. I don't know if it's like the Church of Latter-day Saints or like just like super Christian values of they aren't going to do anything together until they're married. And it's like very chaste. They never really kiss or anything. I mean, in this movie, they don't kiss until the last minute of the film.
Yeah. I didn't even like.
So people, they realize that like, oh, this is not a good book. But they had already contracted these movies. And it was such a big deal because Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart started dating.
Yeah.
Like it was this thing and this frenzy. And it just like, it didn't flop. But it's just a ridiculous movie because Catherine Hardwicke, like she was a good director.
Yeah, she was directed 13, right?
Yes, she brought in Nikki Reed. She brought in her team. It's very her. But as a film for like teenagers, it was like, this is kind of ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
So I love it because it's just such an interesting story. And also like the Twilight movie to the next four, I guess, because they split the last one in two.
Right.
It's so tonally different from the others. Like it doesn't make sense as a series. Like Harry Potter, at least they have the same like location and color correction throughout the series.
Man, the color correction in this movie is awful. Like I thought I was in the Matrix. Like the second, let's talk about bad color correction. The second two Matrixes, like when you're inside the Matrix, it's all kind of like bluish green. Uh-huh. And like that is Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like every time you're inside a classroom or outside, it's just that
everything's
weird,
blue.
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
okay. Well, hold on now because we're getting a little deep here. Before we get into it, we got to do a couple things. No, it's not. This is definitely Chase's fault, not yours, Christine. You're an angel, as always. Chase, we need to do something.
What
first?
Did I know?
First, yes. What did you know about this movie?
All right. So,
and why have you not seen it?
Yeah. So, what I knew about this movie, I had seen the last three, And I came in, my wife was watching them. This was like 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she was watching like the first one. And I think we were doing a podcast or something. So she was watching them. It was on TV, on TBS or whatever the channel where they showed them all fucking day. Mm-hmm. Like they showed them back to back to back. And I, so after the podcast, I started watching them with her and they were bananas. And I was so lost, but I loved it. And like it was, I kept asking about like the lore of what was going on. I was like, so why is the werewolf this? And my wife's like, I don't think that's important. I was like, it's important. I need to know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you know, I got to the end and I was like, man, those movies are awful. But they are like garbage. All over the place and just garbage.
Yeah.
So so I knew that going in. I knew that, you know, even before I watched them, I knew the whole vampire thing. I knew sparkly skin. I knew that it was for 16-year-old girls, and it was like this weird, I knew it was the like you mentioned, the Christian allegory stuff of saving yourself to marriage. And
I had no idea about that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a whole weird thing about like women having power after they give themselves to a man. It's very... Oh,
so,
it's
very, okay, we'll get into that. Yeah. I was... Yeah.
Which, and that happens, you know, even later on in the series.
Sure, sure.
So,
it's insane.
Yeah. So I... now going into this one, I, as the movie started, I did remember, I was like, well, I know for a fact it takes place in Spoon, Washington. And the very first line of dialogue is that it's Forks. I was like, well, I was close. That was not a joke either.
I feel like I count that as a win.
Yeah. I was like, man, I really thought I could, if Spoon. You asked me for $100,000, you're like, Chase, where does Twilight take place? I would be like, man, I got this.
Yeah.
Spoon, Washington. Yeah. No, it's Forks.
It's Forks.
It's Forks. So, and it's a real place.
And it's plural, not singular. You said singular.
No, it's Forks. Yeah. But like Spoons sounds made up.
Spoons, Washington. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So that sounds very Spoon Man book.
But yeah, I think Forks is like north of Seattle, right? Like it's like way up there.
So
close to Canada.
It's like right south of Vancouver Island, so like a little bit north. West. And also the Indian reservation that they refer to, Native American reservation, excuse me, is a real place and is a real, like, the lore behind that. So Chase, you are right. The lore behind it, especially in the first one, is kind of important because like that sets up the whole, whole series. And
there's a lot of like, fighting between Jacob and Edward. I know that. Right. And
yeah, like team Jacob, the cold team ones Edward. Are the vampires and then the warm ones are the werewolves. Oh, so Jacob,
cause I've always said, said that I run hot and my wife, she loves these movies or whatever. Every time I said that, she goes, are you a werewolf? And I was like, no, I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, that's sometimes funny. You have to kill to enact the gene, or that's what happens in the Vampire Diaries universe. So just don't kill anybody.
Yeah. And you'll be all right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I run cold. So maybe I'm a vampire and you're a werewolf.
Yeah.
And we've created unity. Between the tribes, you know?
Well, go back to high school.
Okay, fun.
Okay, that's what vampires do.
We have we have a segment, a new segment that you need to do for us, Chase.
Yeah,
called the newbie synopsis. Chase, without further ado, it's like one of those things where people like, you know, they think they say the wrong thing because they think it's, you know, bone broth of teeth or whatever, you know,
or bone apple teeth.
Yeah, that's it. Bone apple teeth. Anyway, without further ado, you have 1 minute on the clock, sir. Ooh. You have 1 minute to give us your synopsis after seeing this for the first time and go.
High school student Bella moves from Phoenix, living with her mother, to Forks, Washington, to live with her father, who she's mostly estranged from. And when she gets into high school, she meets Edward, the sulky, hunky, quiet type.
Accurate.
And immediately falls in love with him unconditionally, finds out his friends and him suck blood. Then, hijinks pursue. They play a baseball game. They fight some other vampires, and they know that they are to be forever in love. And, it's going to be hard for Ed because she smells so good.
Mm.
That's it.
All right. You killed it.
I know.
Was that under time?
42 seconds.
Wow.
And I hit all the plot points.
You did.
How did you do that?
Because this movie should be 12 minutes long.
That's true. That's a good point.
When I was looking at it, I was like, oh, I've got a couple hours to watch this. I should be set. 2 hours and 2 minutes? God. Excuse me? Dude. I'm not interested.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Like, I like your wife, Chase. I watched them in theaters, and like at the time, I really did love them. Now that I'm older and wiser, I'm like, hey, these are just fun, bad movies.
Right.
So sitting through it and actually intently watching it, I was like, I'm not rough. Into this.
A little bit of, I mean, I was sitting there taking notes, and halfway through, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
It's a drag. Yeah. It's better to watch it on TNT. It's like, I can make food or do something.
Yeah.
Well, and like my wife, while we were watching it, she was like, are you not enjoying this? I was like, not at all. You know, I mean, the other ones that I watched, I loved watching them. I mean, it was such a delicious waste of time.
Yeah, they're entertaining. Delicious. They're much more entertaining.
And they're always throwing you for a loop because, like, you know, so part of the lore is that, you know, obviously vampires are very, very pale because they can't get in the sun or they turn to diamonds.
Right.
And they don't have blood in them or whatever. So, like, their skin is very pale.
Yeah.
Well, and the other ones, like, sometimes it's pale, and then sometimes they just got back from the beach.
Yeah.
Like, they are very, very tame.
Well, they were already a little bit inconsistent in this movie about that, because there was, like, right after he shows off his shiny skin, the very next scene, they're walking to school, and it's the sunshine.
Yeah.
The sun is out to the point where he's wearing fucking sunglasses.
That was a part of the reviews. People were like, okay, you spent all this money. It was a really huge part of their budget to do this sparkle, and they weren't even consistent with it.
Right,
It's and like,
I don't remember them.
Shut up.
I don't even remember them ever sparkling in any of the other movies.
No, it's like, well, they once cut they revealed it, quick, no.
Yeah.
Well, it also looks like a bad Snapchat filter.
Yes.
Nowadays.
This is too much. They removed it from the next one, so it's just like a sheen, almost like, you know, body butter or something from Bed Bath & Beyond. So it's very kind of noticeable.
Right.
It's the skin of a killer.
Yeah.
It's the skin. Said with all the...
No, this is the skin of a killer.
I mean, that whole fucking monologue of him just going on about, like, it was like the part in Dewey Cox when what's his name trying to get him not to do drugs. What's the
Tim Meadows.
Yeah, he's like, you don't want none of this shit.
Yeah,
well, what does it do? It makes you feel great.
Yeah,
he's just like, I'm the most powerful, I could kill anything, I could smell for miles, you don't want any of this,
right?
I don't know, it kind of sounds great
as he's doing flips and shit.
Like breaking
super
branches.
Fast throwing the branch. Like,
it,
he just randomly threw the branch. He's like, oh yeah, you sure, raw, and he throws the branch.
Like, awesome. He had to like pull a root out. I'm like, the acrobatics, and I'm like, I guess a root's more impressive because it's in the. I'm like, what is going on? Yeah, why are they jumping about?
Yeah.
Well, and then the way he says, like, I'm a killer or whatever, like, this is me, and it's like, I mean, he said it with all of the like commitment and gusto. And also believability of like Vanilla Ice. Like Vanilla Ice being like, man, I pop bitches or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
right. I mean, believe that.
Yeah.
Like, no.
But also, this is the one thing that when the rewatch, I was like, even in the books, I guess they have more like interaction. But in the movies, they have to cut it up, do all the exposition for the first in the series. But by that time, I think I wrote down the actual time. It was like 40 minutes or so when she figures out, oh, you're a vampire, with, you know, all of the great shots of the internet research, which I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Like AskJeeves.com
Dude, yes.
Oh, okay. Let me start.
Insane.
And she had to write shit down, too.
Yeah, we'll go through my notes here, and we'll just take this journey.
Yeah, go ahead and get in the notes journey there.
So, first of all, she is a young woman who lives in Phoenix with her mother, and she is paler than a vampire.
Yeah.
So, yeah. In the book, it was kind of like, is this offensive? Like, is she trying? I think in the book they say something about like, people think I have albinism, and it's like, I don't know if you can do this. Even in like high school, I was like, this seems bad.
Well, she really writes that in the book. That's the book.
I think she's like, are like, wow, she's so pale. There must be something wrong with her. I was like, what are we insinuating here?
Yeah, right.
So, and then that again goes into
also why is that so important?
That adds another level to the question that I have later. Okay, so my next.
Also, I must say about Phoenix. So I visited Phoenix recently. It's, you know, it's not just a desert. I was like, Catherine Hardwick, come on. Put her in a house in a subdivision. We're not in the middle of nowhere.
No, but
that was my note on Phoenix.
Yeah, it's a city. It's a suburb. It's not, you know, it's like every Texan rides a horse. You know,
yeah.
Like, and no, we have the largest cities in some of the largest cities in America, most diverse. It's not just a bunch of cowboys.
And not to defend Arizona, because it was a weird place, but I was like, all right, I got to give props to where my parents-in-law live. To speak up for them.
Right.
Yeah. So then, you know, she moves to Forks, Washington, and there's the Jacob kid who is so awkward and weird and has the worst hair I've ever seen.
Just the
most blatant wig that starts halfway in the middle of his head.
Right. It starts right in the middle of his fucking head. You can tell they like pulled his real hair back and then just put the wig
it's awful.
In the middle of his head.
I have to speak about this wig because I have an obsession with the continuity in wigs in Hollywood, and it is insane to me with the amount of money and the budget in some of these films. They still can't get a fucking wig seam right on some of these.
Right.
I'm like, I watch Drag Race now, and that's been some of my quarantine fun. I'm like, these queens have it figured out. Why can't you costume designers in Hollywood get some friggin' wig glue, powder it up? Why am I seeing this at a weird hairline? But also the thing about Jacob Taylor Lautner, not a Native American, 100% a white man.
I was thinking, I was watching it and I was like, oh, like my ass was like, oh, that's right. I guess, I think he is Native American. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, I was fucking, like, doing the work for them, you know?
I mean, everybody else is, like, the dad.
I know.
Gil Birmingham. I'm like, why did they just give it to, like, they have supporting roles for these werewolves. Like, get him in there, but so stupid.
And it was, and then I was like, wait, that's not right. He's not Native American at all. This is ridiculous.
No.
And that fucking wig is even more offensive.
Terrible. Well, and, like, I know that in the later ones, Bella's wig is terrible.
She wears a wig from 2 on because she's like cuts her hair for Joan Jett movie and then it's just her hair was fucked up for years.
Yeah.
For
real? And like, well, the thing that I really enjoyed about the other movies, which I was expecting not to happen in this one and it kind of didn't, but there's another problem that I have. But in the other movies, nobody wants to be there and it is obvious. Mm-hmm. Like everybody is acting as though they have a gun to their head and they are forced to be there. And most of the time they're acting like, you know what? I would rather get shot. Like maybe if I'm bad, they'll just shoot me.
Well, apparently wasn't that kind of the case with Robert Pattinson?
Like, and her, they hated each other by the end. I know that. And like the whole process and but that's why he didn't do mainstream movies after this.
Right.
Until this Batman one.
Right.
But, and like, he really is very good.
He's done a lot of work at
kind of reversing what he did with Twilight.
Yeah, well, and I think he probably was good here, but like, there's nothing. There's nothing in this movie to grab onto.
I honestly am not mad at his performance in this movie.
He's got some weird parts, but like, of all 4 of them or 5 of them, this one's probably the most serious, but like, some of the directorial choices of like, his responses, maybe it's in the writing, but I was just like, what is going
the responses to each other were really just weird.
Well, very odd. So I never found the love connection. I never figured it out. There's no reason that she likes him. I can't tell that she likes him. Like the very first time,
they're not even flirting. It's like, what's going on?
Yeah,
they're not even like mad at each other or not flirting. Like they're just not connected at all. And like every scene that they have with each other where they like, it's as though that's the first time those characters existed. Like this scene doesn't connect to the scene before. They fight over in front of a car after like this other scene where they weren't fighting.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure they shot it all out of order, but like read the script together or something. I don't know what.
Did you guys not see those like very illicit fuck me faces she was making at him
the very first time?
It was like the director, I was like, hey director,
she was
tone it back.
She was immediately
it was like clearly the director was like, no more sensual, more like you want to have sex with him right fucking
now.
I mean,
it was fuck me eyes.
She was looking at him like Prince in a music video or something, where you're just like, oh, that guy wants to fuck me, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you wanted to imitate Kristen Stewart in Twilight era Kristen Stewart, you'd bite the lip
and then scoff.
Edward, no, I can't do that deep, but no,
the whole movie is just like scoffing. All of her dialogue is
it's very guttural. It's like, you know, she's not using her diaphragm properly.
Totally, like, so quiet. How do you know I don't want to be there?
And I guess that's like the angstiness. Like, I haven't seen 13 and I'm like, is this Catherine Hardwick? Like, because like there's a lot of interesting choices and in, like how the shots are set up too. So I'm like, maybe this is just her thing, but I'm like, I don't want to watch 13 enough after seeing Twilight.
Yeah.
13 is very good, but it is hard to watch. It's a rough one.
Yeah.
But speaking of 13 though, with drug problems and everything, I was convinced that the mom was on meth. And like that's why the mom was running away, because like every time she was on the phone with her, it was like she's like, "Yeah, I just need, you know, she's like, why are you on a what do you call it, like a payphone? My charger ran away." I was like, she sold it for meth. Like
I actually thought the same thing. I kept well, because when she was talking, they were working on their broken down car in the background. Yeah. And she didn't mention anything about that, so it was like, oh, she's hiding something.
Yeah,
I thought the same thing. I thought it was going to turn out that the guy was like, yeah, I got a spring training, babe, and he really doesn't.
He's when you saw him for that 1 second at the beginning, he like seemed like a total jackass, like you know, just like an abusive.
Yeah, right.
He's just like, come on, let's go. And it's like, all right, okay, your stepdaughter is now leaving your care. Yeah, chill out.
Right.
Yeah, he's like, we got meth to get, you know?
Yeah, right.
And going to Jacksonville, like, I feel like everything in Florida is meth town.
Florida,
interesting choice.
Yeah,
so cheaper. It's meth for sure.
And like, the mom always wanted to talk, and she was like super excited to talk in like that overly meth way, and then also never had time. Like, she always want to hang up too.
Right.
I mean, when Bella did.
I don't understand the characteristics of somebody who's using meth, but I believe fully, and I think this is like the backstory. This actress was like, I'm going to make the secret I have. I'm a meth.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like anybody needed a backstory, because there's no subtext in there's no text. There's no, like, there's hardly lines that are performed. Yeah. And like, what is it with this town that like, all the high schoolers, like what they do is they go outside and just stand by their cars.
Right.
Like that's 30 to 40% of this movie is just high schoolers standing by their car to the point where she almost gets hit by a car.
Yeah.
And then the next time they're in high school, they're all just standing by their cars.
Not scared or anything. Yeah. That's something I was like looking at it. I was like, I've never lived in this small of a town, but I'm like, is this how people act? Like, are they just like bored all the time? I guess so. They're sitting by their cars. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the same thing.
The best reaction of the guy throws the licorice at her to get her attention. And she just goes,
I'm reading her book. Poetry. And by the way, it's framed. I was like, this has got to be a haiku or something. Like, I died to know what book she was reading. Like, Catherine Hardwicke is like, here, read some James Joyce. This is way.
Yeah.
The audience will know that you're very intellectual.
Yeah, right.
Because that's the relationship. Chase, you said there's like no buildup. I agree. And I'm like watching. I was going to say earlier, when she figures out he's a vampire, I think they had about 5 to 8 minutes of screen time together, even less dialogue, like that would suffice for 5 to 8 minutes when they reveal themselves. And then it's like they start talking to each other and he's like, oh, I'm listening to classical music. And she's like, oh, Claire de Lune. It's like, well, now are they supposed to be like these like love struck people? I don't believe it.
Dude. And they have no character. Nobody in this movie has a character except for, I call him Dr. Acula, the dad.
Peter Facinelli, Carlisle. Beverly Hills? No. Melrose Place? No, I don't know, one of those.
He was on, Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh.
He was the bully in Can't Hardly Wait. The
really?
One that dumps Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Okay.
At the beginning of that one, that's what I know him from.
Before she took her glasses off.
But he walks into that fucking...
and he realized she was hot?
No, she was hot in that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he walks into that after Bella almost gets hit by that car. He bursts into that hospital just, I'm a Dracula. I mean, doctor. He looks it and just feels it and just like, who said vampire? Nobody.
Also, I must say, his bedside manner, great. I believe him as a doctor.
Felt the same thing. I was like, this is an experienced doctor.
He knows, asking all the right questions.
How are you
feeling? I wanted this movie to be his movie. I want to follow him around.
Yeah,
I
totally.
Know what he does.
Actually, I did like his character the most. He was just so, it made no sense to have a vampire be so rational and just like, just could, like, everyone's dream dad, you know, just like, we don't do that, son. Like, what is going on here?
He's very reserved, and that's one of my bigger problems with the movie too, is like, I think the supporting cast, especially for the Cullens, like, even while watching them as a youngster, like 17, but I'm like, these Cullens are stupid. They're bad actors, except for the dad. I was like, they're all like ridiculous typecast, just archetypes, but they are also trying so hard, so uncomfortable to watch them.
Yeah.
But he did a great job. And I'm like, why did they not just like cast good actors? Because Peter Facinelli is a decent, he's fine. He's not great. He's not terrible. But like the other ones, I'm like, did you owe these people a favor? Because they really suck.
I mean, like, none of them were famous.
Right.
No. It wasn't like they were getting names. I mean, Lautner was Shark Boy. Like, that was his thing.
I don't even know what that is.
And,
it's a good film.
I don't know what that word means.
Yeah, it's just a movie.
Oh, okay. Like,
but
The Adventures of Shark Boy and Lava Girl in
3D. Yeah.
Oh, wow. And this was before Twilight?
The Spy Kids franchise.
Yeah.
Which Spy Kids 1 is one of my favorite movies. Great film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that all came out when I was a little too old for it. But
I was right at the right time.
Chase, you're never too old for Spy Kids.
No. All right. No. It's Robert Rodriguez. That's who directed those. But
anyway.
That's
right.
So like I agree. Like, there's no reason for, the only reason I could think that they couldn't get a good actor is that like people read the script and they're like, no.
I think maybe that's it. Here. Because it was like, they did a press tour, and like Kellan Lutz, who played Emmett, I don't even remember his name, like the big Cullen brother, who's like wearing and like trying to break dance while they're playing baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember wearing a Fila jumpsuit.
Oh, we
I'm
will
like,
get
you
to
look
that baseball scene.
Oh my god! But I'm just like, okay. Well, he became a heartthrob, and like everybody's like, Kellan Lutz is the cutest guy on earth. Like, and then Jackson Rathbone, who played like the silent one, he hasn't done anything since. Nor have either of the sisters. And also the wig, the pixie wig on the fucking sister Alice. It looks god awful. Oh, I'm like, yeah, I know it's 2008. So could have been a style, but it looks terrible. It looks awful.
Could have been a style.
Doesn't move at all. Okay. Again, drag queens, no. You got to get a real wig. You got synthetic hair on your head. It's not going to move. Real hair moves, people. Okay, I'm done. Sorry.
Man, yeah. So, like, let's see here. I got acting is different. Yeah. Then, so, like, this is right before, this is after the car crash and everything. I'm like, why is she so into him, and why is he into her? Like, there's scenes where they are, and then there's scenes where they're not. But, like, sometimes they're only thinking about each other. It was a weird montage. Then they go to the beach, and the Lords of Dogtown roll up on them, and it's Jacob and his friends. Like, they just look like the long-haired, you know.
Yeah.
Which I think the director directed the Lords of Dogtown movie. I could be confusing that.
Did she really?
I think so.
Huh. I do love that movie.
Yeah, that came out the same year as Shark Boy and Lava Girl, actually. So the Jacob... or one of the which I know are werewolves now, but that doesn't really get revealed in this. When she says,
Bella, she did directed direct Lords of Dogtown.
Good call.
I thought so. They're all at the beach, and I think Bella's like, why aren't the Cullens here or whatever? And like the one guy just goes, Cullens don't come here, like just barks at her, no pun intended. And then the next scene, she's talking to Jacob, and she goes, what does he mean the Cullens don't come here? And he goes, you caught that?
He yelled at me, and everyone, shit, dude.
Everyone was uncomfortable that this guy just yelled at me.
Yeah.
All the conversation stopped.
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, okay.
Yeah,
moving on. We're going to ignore this.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because it was crazy making for me, because I was like, am I insane, or are these responses just like, is anyone listening to each other in this fucking movie?
The only person who's listening, I think, is one of my favorite things in movies is bad like ad-libbed lines that get caught and are like too loud in the mix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when
I do love those.
When she pulls up in her like jalopy truck for that first day of school or whatever. Yeah. the cool kid's just like, nice car. And you just hear someone just go, hey, good one. Like, good one. Like, that's not a good one.
Right.
He didn't do anything.
Right.
I wonder if, like, voice actors are doing that. If they're, like, contracted, hey, man, we need you to come in and do background ADR for Twilight. Or if it's just a producer where it's like, Jim, come in here. We just need, like, a good one. Come on.
Yeah.
The only thing better is, like, in a crowd scene where you can pick out, like, some, like, it's a grumble, grumble, grumble.
And yeah.
You, like, pick out one thing, like, in a, what's the Christmas movie that's not a Christmas movie? The Van Traps. Sound of Music. Where like that last scene where before you start singing Edelweiss or whatever, and he goes, well, you know, I've been contracted that I have to go work with the Third Reich, and you just hear, oh Third Reich. Oh, oh, oh. It's very audible. You just hear someone go, oh Third Reich. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah. So, but that was the same thing, just like, good one. No, not a good one.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Also, it was like, in clear, those kids, the high school kids, like, I was like, Catherine Hardwicke is still telling the 13 high school story where it's like kids are just like mean to each other openly. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I had a lucky time in high school, but kids weren't like openly like throwing Twizzlers at each other.
No. And right.
Being, like making fun of them. It never was like you kind of stuck to your group.
Yeah.
And it was like,
and you know, you pick on anybody in your own group. Like joshingly, you know, but there was, I mean, you know, there's some bullying, but not like that.
Yeah. Like, and I think the weirdness of her coming to town and like the whole town is like, oh, Bella, we have your favorite cobbler from when you were here 16 years ago. It's like, why do you guys remember this? Like 3,000 people again. It's like, I've never lived in a small town, but 3,000 people seems like enough to not know everyone.
It's not that small.
That guy, by the way, the guy who said, yeah, his name was Waylon, right?
Yeah.
The fatigues.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, can't escape the Seinfeld, even when we're watching Twilight.
I actually just saw him in another movie. It was like a little experimental film from the 80s called Illusions about race in Hollywood. And it was an interesting movie. But yeah, he was a bad guy in that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that guy works. He's done a lot of stuff. He's always like just a character. He was in Ed Wood.
He was.
He's a chiropractor.
He was. Yeah. Yep.
As I think Bella Lugosi's the dream.
Double.
Just being a busy character actor. Yeah. Doing day play stuff like wherever you go, just having a blast.
Just like making mad bank and like just having a family. Like
right.
Well, gotta go to work, but instead of like you know a boring job, I'm gonna go be in Twilight today.
Fucking movie.
Today I'm gonna go be on one of the greatest television shows of all time. And
I've only got 3 days of shooting, and I'm gonna get paid $15,000 or something for it, and.
That's probably more than that.
It's a good deal, man.
So then on the beach, Bella learns all about the werewolves and the, well, she doesn't learn about werewolves. She learns about the vampires or whatever. And they have the like weirdest old timey footage, like the look of the
old, that was so bad, dude.
Super sepia, but not. And then like all of their clothes were.
Why?
Like high school production.
Yes, it reminded of my high school like period pieces where our director was like, go to Goodwill, try and make it look old.
Or that cut to they would do every now and then of her on the couch and him, you know, bending over her to suck her blood. That looked horrible as well. It looked cheap as fuck.
And then like the Native Americans with their like wolf masks, which I'm assuming were like supposed to be not paper mache. And like, those were childhood art projects that they were wearing.
Like the production value on certain aspects of it, especially those flashback. I'm like, are you at like an old timey event place where they're taking your picture? Like it felt like such crap. I'm like
they were wearing jeans and then just like, oh, they'll only shoot us from the legs from the waist up. No, this is a wide shot. Too late. we don't have that.
Love catching that stuff where like especially in the teen dramas that I tend to love, they'll always sneak in a wide shot and you can see all the girls like wearing Uggs or like some shitty tennis shoes. It's like they did not expect to have this on camera.
That was supposed to be off screen.
And then speaking of things being shitty about this movie, the special effects, although as limited as they are just so TV movie, low budget, terrible.
It's real bad.
And I remember thinking that back when it was released, I was like, oh, that looks cheap.
Yeah.
What is going on here? This is supposed to be like a big blockbuster. You know, you couldn't fucking throw a little extra Skrilla for the fucking special effects. I mean, all it is a guy running fast, and yeah, you somehow managed to make it look like the worst thing I've seen.
Yeah,
you know? Like they're on wires. It's like clear that it's like the whoever did it is like, okay, I can only make it go one linear direction. They cannot move off the path. It just needs to be like a zoom.
Yeah,
there's no.
I wasn't even talking about the tree climbing stuff. There's no weight, or
they don't interact with anything. You just
no lighting. No, it just goes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awful.
They just do when they're moving fast and they're like supposedly like moving at vampire speed. It's just clearly just a blur, like some digitized post production blur they put in there. It just looks, I don't know. There's got to be so many other ways you could do it to make it better. That probably
get
weren't
them on
that
a treadmill
expensive.
And like yeah. a couple of banners or like trees
Yeah, right.
Just running.
The old Flash show did it better. You know?
Yeah, like, right. Yeah. Right.
But okay. So then, moving on after that, we were talking about it. Her ability to search for vampire information,
one time she just
types in cold ones and she gets vampires. No, yeah. What is
well,
the
let,
SEO?
I'm gonna test it. I'm gonna go right now on my phone.
Type in cold ones. See how many pages you have to get before you find vampires.
Right.
And if that if that's Twilight lore, it doesn't count.
Oh yeah,
I'm not getting anything. I'm getting like a YouTube series called Cold Ones, which I'm sure is just
about
a hot
beer
ones
or
Converse.
Yeah.
I think it is about beer. So
yeah,
they've got great SEO.
Boy.
Yeah, there you
fantastic.
Go.
Fantastic. They've got somebody working engineering back there to get those ads to show up. For
and then she finally comes across this one book that's going to have all the lore that she needs.
Right.
And she scrolls over the buy it now on Amazon, like there's an Amazon link, and she goes to this town that's far away.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I'll go there and buy the book.
Right, the address down.
Yeah,
right.
And she doesn't even have the ability to go there. I guess her car won't make it. So she has to go with her friends.
Well, it just so happened that her friends were like, "Hey, we're going to this town to get dressed." And she's
I'll go.
Oh, really? I'll go.
Yeah.
I was like, "Well, that isn't that convenient."
They were like, "You want to go?" No. Well, we're going to go to this town to get him. I want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also like, hey, she does have a car. That's a pretty big plot point at the beginning of it. It's
Wouldn't she just drive herself?
Yeah. Take the car that your father bought you so kindly. But that whole part is like very silly because like, people are always like, remember when Anna Kendrick was in Twilight? Wasn't that so funny? And I was like, no, because it's a crappy movie.
Yeah, right.
But man, she
got a paycheck, though.
She has not aged a day.
She's banking off that movie.
Like 34 or something.
I know.
She's banking off that movie like with compound interest, man. Like she got a fucking whole career out of that shit.
I know.
It was like a fucking bit part. Is she even in the sequels?
She shows up in the finale, in the last one.
No, she doesn't. She shows up in the credits of the last one because the last one they do that like old 80s thing where they show like a clip from the movie where they put the person's name.
Yeah.
And they do all four movies. Characters from just all four movies are shown in that last one. And like they're not in the last one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's bizarre. And it takes like 20 minutes of an already 2.5 hour movie.
Yeah.
They get into killed characters. Yeah. Like they get into like the villains that no one cared about. It's like, why are you even showing this person? Like we don't care about this. They were villains.
Yeah. Okay. So speaking of villains, they're in that town. It's daytime. They're getting dresses. Yep. Mm-hmm. Then she's like, I'm going to go get a book. And then she is in that bookstore long enough for it to get real dark and be like, time like rape o'clock,
dude. Right,
where there's just like drunk guys
dangerous.
In the alleyway.
It's like she also, like as a woman, I look out on my surroundings, not nearly as much as I should because I'm quite oblivious. But like having lived in Chicago, I've had to walk down an alley at night. You are conscious of yourself. The fact that she's just like idly, like let me walk down this giant staircase into what seems like the warehouse district of this town in an empty parking lot, even though she sees like dudes walking by, like acting drunk. It's like, what is wrong with you? Like, why are you putting yourself in danger? That's what I go back on Catherine Hardwick. It's like, what is your idea of like what being a woman is like today? It seems like you still think it's the 90s.
What did the book do there? Like,
I'm trying to remember. I do remember that she like, had people like follower. I think they followed her out the bookstore, and it was like not this weird parking lot. And she didn't go down any staircase. Maybe that's right. It was a parking lot, but she didn't go down any staircase. It was kind of a little bit more out in the open, but
yeah,
it was not nearly as like, that was quite a like, oh, she's going to get fucked up. Like this was a very like, this is a dangerous situation.
And again, this could have all been avoided if she just ordered the damn book on Amazon.
Right. Yeah.
And obviously don't go to that local bookstore, because she was in there for hours looking for a book that she knew was there.
Yeah.
And the guy at the counter, I guess, did not help her.
He didn't know.
Right.
Yeah. He's just,
or she didn't ask for the help.
Yeah. You know?
No, they didn't have a good filing system. So maybe that's on the bookstore. Yeah.
They didn't follow their Dewey decimals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then,
it was all whack.
Then Edward saves her and he's driving back and some of the.
In a Volvo, which was also a big deal for the movie to get a Volvo contract.
I'm sure.
I think they use Volvo in the book too, which was like, why?
What?
Who fucking cares, Stephanie?
Yeah, what the fuck?
But his acting in that scene where he is like, I want to go back, is the best acting if he's acting like he's trying not to take a crap. Like, I just literally thought.
Oh, yeah, sitting there in the car.
Yeah, he was either taking.
Distract me so I don't go back.
Yeah, he was either actively taking a crap or like angrily cumming his pants.
I think the best part, though, for me was Bella's like, put on your seatbelt. Yeah. And he's like, you put on your seatbelt.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why? She's what? She doesn't know yet at this point.
Right. Yeah.
You're just driving erratically.
And then she still doesn't know when they go out to eat. He like basically tells her. Without telling her.
Yes.
You know, and then, but my wife did say that during that scene, the song that is playing in the restaurant is one of the two songs that Arpat recorded for this movie.
That's he really did record music for this? Oh,
yeah.
So when he's playing that piano song, that was him?
Yeah, so he plays one, it's called Let Me Sign.
Okay.
And then, I forget the other one, but this soundtrack is another reason why I picked this movie. Because this was like, I was not good at downloading music illegally as a high schooler. And my dad would not pay for iTunes. I didn't have a job. So the one thing that I bought for myself was like the soundtrack to this movie.
Yeah.
Many, many a days and drives to school were spent like scream sobbing the lyrics of like, it's so beautiful. Like, like that one, a super massive black hole.
Yeah. Right.
That's a great one. And then Paramore, there's a good Paramore song in there, but like the soundtrack, it's fine. But now I'm like,
my wife,
the weirdest thing, I'm glad you brought up the soundtrack, because I'm a massive Radiohead fan. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you know, Radiohead had just released In Rainbows a year before this came out, I guess.
Yeah.
So I guess during production, In Rainbows was being released or was just released. And so I guess the timing does make sense, but, When it busts into 15 Step at the end of the movie during the entire credits, it's like walking into a McDonald's and seeing Gordon Ramsay as the chef. You know what I mean? It's like, what is happening right now? You know?
It's a shocking choice because they don't keep it up in the rest of the movies. Well, they have like one or two big songs. Well, and the rest of them is like
even
the composition.
Is fucking Tom York did a solo song for New Moon, I think. And it's like,
shit, really?
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know what the producers of this movie or the movie studio has on Radiohead but like, you know what I mean? Something. Like, they got to have some P videos on them or something, you know what I mean? For them to, like, be... Because they never give their music to movies
that.
No, they're
very... Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's not necessarily true, but they had gotten to a point, like, after Kid A and everything to where they didn't need to, so it was just kind of rare to see it anymore. And then of all the fucking movies that do it, it's Twilight. You would think it would be, you know, some PTA shit or something, or Wes Anderson, but nope, Twilight, I guess that's what... They I don't know. This is weird.
My wife said that she had this soundtrack, she listened to it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was not in high school when this came out. Right. So
yeah, I definitely like everybody I knew, and my cousin she's like late 30s now, so she also was obsessed with it. It kind of transcended age a little bit too, and I think that's why like from Twilight 50 Shades of Grey came out, which I've never seen, but I still don't understand. They're like, it's fanfic. And I'm like, isn't fanfic supposed to have like some of the characters?
Well, it started out that way. Like the woman wrote it as fanfic between like Bella and the guy or whatever. And then it became the right. 50 Shades of Grey or whatever. But yeah,
but no. I guess like it allowed different generations, because like I think some of the moms, because my aunt did this, she like read one of them to make sure it was okay to let her daughter read, who was like 12 or 13. So like a lot of women loved it, even if they were older, loved these movies. And like, when I went to the fourth one, there's a part where they kick a baby into a fire, which is my favorite comedic moment of any film. So it was a vampire baby, and they're like, we can't do this because it's part human, part vampire. It's going to kill its parents. And like this vampire governing body comes in, they're like, give us the child. And they basically like drop kick this baby into a fire. And I laughed out loud. I had already turned on the film, and my cousin was like, Christine, shut up. And I was like, you can't tell me that's not funny. Like, so it gets like sillier and sillier. But like this one is just like, it continues. Like they go to this dinner and they're like, holding and white knuckling the table, just like can't talk to each other. It's so stupid.
Yeah, well, right. And, you know, they play the tension.
I mean, at this point in the movie,
way too long.
Yeah, at this point in the movie, this is probably when my wife was like, she was like, are you loving it? And I was like, I hate it.
Yeah.
And she's like, how do you hate this? She's like, I love it. She's like, I know it's bad, but like it's good. And I was like, no, I hate it because I am not, nor have I ever been, a 16-year-old girl. And like, that's not saying that's a bad thing. That's just saying that's what this is written for.
No, 16-year-old
that's
who this girls speaks are mean. To. I was one. It sucks. Yeah.
Like, it speaks to that whole thing of like the dangerous boy, like the trope of it. Like, I get it. It's like little girl porn. Like,
that's why people liked it.
I did, one of my mental notes on it was like, oh, this seems like preteen 50 Shades, like what you were saying, the comparisons or whatever. But I definitely did get that vibe as well. But yeah, anyway, that's my
it's view. Uncomfortable because it's like I wrote this down, Chase, because I was like, I know we're probably taking notes, but like whenever they reveal, because this is shortly after she figures it out and confronts them in the jungle of the high school, apparently they're like within walking distance to this bogged wooded forest,
right?
But she says, I knew three things for sure.
Dude.
That Edward is a vampire, that he he thirsted for my blood, and I am irrevocably in love with him.
Why?
This is an hour in, 20 minutes of screen time together.
Right. Yeah.
I haven't even kissed.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
I mean, that was where I knew three things for sure.
Okay, so specific. Okay.
This is where I started to like lose
That's from the book. Those are lines from the book.
Oh, boy.
This is where I started to lose it because I was like, I need... You're giving me this world where these things have rules and they need to have rules and I need to understand them to make this work for me, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, so he tells her, you know, I can't be with you because I can't control it. And she says, I know you can't. I was like, well, how do you know that he can't? You do not know
right,
him.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just not good writing, right? Yeah, that's what it boils down to. It's just bad. Like, it's okay, bad. Was the, we were talking about this before we started the podcast. We were downstairs. My fucking favorite part of the movie, and by favorite, I mean
the most
made me want to kill myself
outrageous.
The most. Yeah, was the whole, like, in the scene after he's done throwing the root and jumping around and doing his circus act and stuff and being like, I'm a killer.
The wall.
Yeah, and she's like, he's like, tell me what you're thinking. I'm frightened. And they do this whole thing where they almost kiss. And then he goes, so... the lion fell in love with the lamb, and she goes, stupid little lamb. Oh, dude.
Just like the worst.
Oh my God.
I like was fast forwarding through that part because I was like, Catherine Hardwick, please stop giving me these shots where you're just looking at each other.
Yeah.
I need more dialogue. Quicken the pace, please.
Oh, she says stupid little lamb, and I'm like, that's not as deep as you think it sounds. You know what I mean? Like, it's not as deep as you think it sounds, man.
So then I got in, like, now there's a couple of answers to these, I guess. So my question was, this guy, you know, he's born in the 1800s or whatever. I was like, why is he in high school still? Mm-hmm. Like, this guy does not look 17, first of all. He looks 25.
Okay.
Yeah, and he is 25. She was 18, and he was, like, 24 or something.
Yeah. So, like, why is this guy in high school? Why do they have to be in high school if they don't even look it? And, like, how did he get into high school
if
Where's his social security number?
He repeats. Apparently, he said that they restart freshman year. That's what he said.
Like, he's like, we have to. The younger we start, the longer we can stay.
But it's always the same school.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
They don't have to go to school.
No, they don't have to go to school. And like, what in the long scheme? In the long scheme of immortality.
Yeah.
What is adding 4 years to how long you stay in a city?
Right.
You know, like don't start over at, because that guy barely looks like a senior. He's much older looking than
that. Yeah.
When she goes, how old are you?
And he goes 17. I was like, all right, buddy.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. The reason why they want to maintain normalcy, which to them means I'm going to be in high school. But I'm like, why? Like the charade, I don't understand it. But in terms of like the vampire powers in the lore of Twilight, like everybody has a different power.
Yeah.
Some people can like convince you to do something. Edward can read minds. Alice can see into the future. So like everybody's has a different gift, and some vampires don't have a gift. Most vampire like media, I would say one thing they always have is like mind control, at least in the last 15 years.
Right.
Glamoring, like compelling, like it's been a common theme, but I'm like, why didn't they just give them this mind control? Because towards the end, they have to like lie to Bella's dad. They can't even like wipe his memory.
Right.
And
then that whole part, dude, where she's like, I don't want to hurt him. Well, he's like, well, you know, just say you're leaving and it's going to hurt him and it's fine. And then instead of just doing that, she goes, yeah, I don't want to be stuck here like mom was.
On top of that, she busts in like he did something.
Yeah.
But she mentions that she broke up with Edward. So she's like clearly emotional and, you know, just a teenager. And he, like, she won't fly. She wants to leave right now. And like, he lets her, like, whatever. I guess that's a bad father thing, but maybe it's a good father thing.
She gets
home and then, like, she gets broken legs. Wait, hold on. I wrote it down. She was terrified when she was running.
She goes to Phoenix.
Yeah, she was running away. And like the last thing that her dad hears from her is that, you know, I broke up with him. I'm mad. I need to get out of here. Takes the jab at him so that he won't follow her or whatever. Then she ends up in Phoenix in a hospital, beat to shit, bleeding out, bite marks on her arm, broken legs, all this stuff carried in by this ex-boyfriend who followed her to Phoenix.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
And tells a story of like, oh, she fell down some stairs and out a window and got cut.
Right.
And the mom's like,
are there any witnesses?
Yeah, yeah, checks out. The mom's like, that makes perfect sense. He's a good boyfriend. This mom is on drugs.
Yeah.
There's no way that she's buying this.
Well, but then the dad is just like okay with it as well, because you know, after all that, when he's taking her to prom and she does the she's all that coming down the staircase but with the broken wearing the cast still
also
that outfit
also he's wearing like, wearing leggings underneath her dress, which was my wife
that
was
like
weird.
That was a thing was a thing back in the day to wear
I do
leggings
seem to remember that style
dress.
I do seem to
but
remember
not
that
to prom I was I think everybody
not to prom.
But hey, it's Kristen Stewart, Bella. She's just cool, you know, like, hey, you know,
yeah,
that's like
it's,
her whole
that
vibe,
whole
right?
part Chase, that's such a good point. It's like ex-boyfriend's carrying her in. Well, also your ballet studio from when you were a kid destroyed.
Yeah.
No
destroyed.
Witnesses at the hotel that
was,
you fell down these stairs.
There was
like,
arson
a person,
going on in
blood
there.
Blood everywhere.
No, and then it's all okay. And then she's like, I want to move back home so I could be with my boyfriend. Ridiculous. And then they dance on the floor.
Well,
they dance at that thing. And then all of the other kids leave. And I was only thing I could think was one of two things is happening. Either her blood smells good to vampires, and that makes her stink to everyone else. Because like they walked out, and then all those kids were like, "Ew!" So it's either that, or he smells like a corpse because he's living dead.
Yeah, right.
So maybe that's the case.
Yeah,
but
I like the corpse. I like both. Why not both? They could. That could happen.
Could be.
Yeah, because that was one of the things I asked earlier. Is, you know, because like Ed was like, "I need your blood. It's like cocaine or whatever or heroin."
Oh yeah.
And I was like, "What makes her blood?"
Yeah.
Like, what makes her blood so like so smelly? What makes
that's
it
another
good?
Thing where the Christian allegory comes in. People are like, she's virginal. So, and that's another thing in like just vampire shit in general. So like True Blood and Vampire Diaries, young people and like virgins, yeah, their blood is better.
But there's a lot of virgins like, in that school. There's like, I'm sure they run across virgins all the time, but like they all seem like this is special blood.
Of course, and Mike, then, that one.
Yeah.
And buddy then, of hers.
And then I also was like, well, why can't he read her mind? And my wife was like, well, all vampires have that special power. And it turns out that Bella's special power is that vampire powers don't work on her. But I was like, well, so did, was
Edward, her power is self-control.
Yeah, but like,
that's it. That's the Christian shit coming back. Because when she's turned into one,
well, but she can like
control it all.
But like she has self-control before. Like, so like the other vampires don't have the powers before they turn into vampires. So why does she have the power before?
Yeah.
This lore's not adding up, man.
No.
It doesn't make really a lot of sense. I would say the world building is pretty loose on Stephanie Meyer's end.
Yeah.
She did write it on like a Tumblr at first. So
we'll
give that to her. Man, let's let her live with that. Yeah.
All those love scenes are just incredibly uncomfortable. Finding out that he's like, I like to watch you sleep. Red fucking flag.
Oh, that whole scene.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, vampire stuff aside, this guy is creepy.
Yeah, bad.
Yes.
Not to mention in the story, he's 100-something years old and she's 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, his actual character is like over 100.
That happens in every vampire thing, but that's also a good point of like, why? When you've aged mentally this much, sure, if they're still attractive, but it's like you still find them interesting.
Again, right. And that goes back to what I'm talking about with this fucking high school bullshit. Like these kids going to, like vampires, you know, in all of the lore of vampires, like part of it is this, like, you know, well, depending on which ones, but like there's an obsession with art and beauty you know, increasing like what you could see because you've seen human existence go and like you can experience all sorts of things longer and you take more precious things and all of that. All they do with their time is go to high school and play baseball.
Dude,
the baseball, we should
gotta talk about the fucking baseball scene. That's in the book, right? I'm assuming it has to have been.
But
why?
This scene is just like the outfit choices.
Why are they the fucking Yankees
in
Forks, Washington?
Yeah. I really think that it was nothing more than Stephanie Meyer thought. Okay, this whole thing reeks of Stephanie Meyer thinks she's way more clever than she actually is, okay?
Oh, they have to play when it's raining.
Exactly. My theory is that she got that she was like outside while it was raining and she heard the thunder and goes, "What if they were so strong that when they played baseball, it made a thunderous sound?"
This is a first draft input. Yeah. I should have had a pass on that.
Right. I
got to work that in there. That's so fun and clever.
I was so glad that it was the crack of the bat. Because I thought they were going to be playing baseball in the storm because the sun wasn't out, so nobody would see them. And I was like, well, but they're going to hide because they're going to use their powers.
Why
does it matter if it's raining?
Right.
They're with a crack of the bat.
Right.
Just crack the bat. Like, who gives a shit?
Or just don't have it in there at all. It served no purpose whatsoever and was a cartoon.
No, the pitcher girl was the worst.
Yeah.
I've never seen a pitcher look so bored.
Yeah.
And with such bad form. Now the bad form,
I give her full pass on that shit because if I was the actor in that movie, I'd be like, really? We're actually gonna do this?
She did look like she was asking to it as like Grinky, who just like zoned.
Yeah, out, right, you know? Totally, but, man.
God,
yeah.
I do wonder if they gave him like, okay, here you go, Rosalie. Here's a pitching coach for this scene. Like,
I doubt
they prep them or they're just like, do your best.
It was also like shot in this weird slow-mo. So I'm sure she was like moving like a dancer. Like,
right.
She looks like she's probably a dancer or something.
But like the leg and the leg movement. It was so stupid.
They probably like, look at this person that is a real pitcher. Now do it.
Yeah.
And make it look cool and exaggerated.
Right.
And she just looks like a ballerina doing it. It's weird.
Improvise, Nikki Reed. Just have fun with it.
Yeah.
I bet she did the whole thing without a ball in her hand too. I bet that
the
ball
CG
was
the ball, because they had to make it go fast anyway.
Hand,
My favorite part of that whole thing was that the other clan of vampires show up that don't know them at all, and guess what? They want to play. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, baseball. Hell yeah, that's what us vampires do. Wow, I gotta get in on
these games. These are like feral.
Oh shit,
you know?
You're right. They're I totally forgot. Like, hey, you got room for three more players, huh?
No. So apparently that's vampires like, love baseball. Okay, great.
But I always thought they were coming from Bella, but you're totally right because they don't know that she's there.
They didn't
even
know that she was there
at
first.
Yeah, until the wind blows her hair.
Let's play.
Yeah.
That's so stupid.
Dude, what the fuck? Yeah.
What a dumb transition.
I know.
I love this movie. So fun.
Yeah. And also that that baseball scene gave me total Top Gun beach volleyball
vibes.
Yeah,
it did. Oh, 100%.
Because it's just randomly out of nowhere for no fucking purpose. Yeah.
So here's where I just, like, towards the end, like, we get into this fight, and I just start losing it with just, like, why, what is not working here? So, like, these vampires are human. Things, like, hurt them or whatever, right? Like, they aren't, like, they're superhuman. But they have senses.
Yeah, they heal quickly, but they get hurt.
Yeah, so why does pepper spray have no effect on them? And wouldn't pepper spray have more effect on one that has, like, super sense of smell? And then also, how do they have a sense of smell if they can't breathe? And if they can't breathe, why does Robert Pattinson's vampire choke the Thor vampire? What? How is that an effective...
Because
they don't feel pain the same, and they're not breathing, so you're not, like, killing him.
I think much like the ending of Lost, you're not going to ever get these answers.
Yeah.
These aren't answers that Stephenie Meyer's interested in telling. The more you add logic, the less fun you're going
to
have.
I just need something to grab onto.
Yeah. There was nothing.
Right.
No, there's not a lot. And especially towards the end, like, it is just such a long movie getting to the baseball scene. And then from the baseball scene, it's like 25 minutes.
Zero to 100. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And it's kind of crazy because so much of the scene work had been just like such guttural, intensive, just short sentence conversations. And then it goes into like this huge fight sequence, which is like,
right.
I guess that's how the book did it as well. But
right. And it takes like no time. And then they spend more time on him, sucking the blood out of her. And like,
she's got to save him from the venom.
Yeah. That was the second RPAT song, by the way, my wife said.
Oh, yes.
When he was sucking the blood out of her.
I see.
And that one is not as good. And it's like, I typically have a bad time understanding words in music, which is why I like listening to a lot of wordless music.
Yeah.
But it's like, what is he saying? I'm like, why did we put this in here? Is this supposed to be emotional? He's just screaming. And no, I don't think it's actual English. I really don't.
I didn't even catch it. I mean, I had no idea he did songs for it, so now I kind of want to go back and listen to it.
He doesn't do music anymore, too. So it's like, it was kind of like they were also trying to see, will this hit?
Yeah, yeah. They let him. Like,
his music is not in any future movies.
Yeah.
And like, I guess they were trying to make a, you know, like a boy star out of him, and he didn't, you know, he good for him. I got to respect the fact that he just like said, no, I want to do acting. I want to be real.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Kristen Stewart as well. Same thing.
She's wonderfully. She's just not very good. I've not seen.
We're ready to fight, Chase.
Uh-oh. I don't think
she's very good.
Here it goes.
She goes from this like scoffy sort of like, I think she has a speech impediment in this movie, like a stutter or whatever. And like now she just like every time she acts, it's like she just like is too cool to be there. That's her character. Like all of her characters don't care what's going on. That's just what I've seen.
She's good in Charlie's Angels, which is a very silly film, but she has a lot of fun with it because I do agree with you. She's very, very serious and does a lot of like the jaw work, the lip work. She was known for that, but she's better at like actually acting now.
Yeah.
I saw her in the Runaways, which she was better in that movie than that movie actually was. Like that movie was not very good, but her and was it Dakota Fanning?
Yeah. Was Dakota or L, one of them.
Yeah. And, I think it was Dakota, but they were very good in that movie. And that movie was not very good.
No, the movie sucked, but they were good in it. But I'd also say
Shannon stole that movie though. He was a nut job.
I forget he was even in that.
Yeah.
I just remember
he was that producer guy.
Yep.
Yeah. He was
He's so good at everything.
Yeah, I know.
He's good in the Fahrenheit 451 movie that wasn't very good. Anyway.
He's always good.
Yeah. I will say about the casting of Pattinson, I got to get this tidbit in here because I read it looking it up before we started here, and I really just can't believe that this is real. Okay, Kristen Stewart was pretty much chosen right away, and mm-hmm. there was no real, whatever with her.
Which is weird because, like you were saying in the books, part of, and like, I mean, by design, I'm sure, she was described as just like a girl because.
Yeah, nondescript, yeah. Just so you can throw yourself on there. Yeah.
And like, I don't feel like she looks like every girl or anything. I mean, I guess she's not like anything super special.
Sure.
But. Yeah, I don't know, but I think they just liked her, and I think they were looking for somebody who was closer to the high school, age, so because yeah. They knew there was a possibility of continuing on the series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it says, all it says about her being cast was that Hardwick visited her for an informal screen test that captivated the director, and like that was that.
All right.
She said she had trouble finding someone otherworldly enough, quote unquote, to play vampire Edward Cullen. Stephanie Myers mm-hmm. yeah. Said that she wanted Henry Cavill and had Henry Cavill.
Oh, that's right.
Really?
Had Henry Cavill in her mind when she was writing the books as Edward Cullen.
Way too old.
Well, and that's exactly why he ultimately wasn't even considered, is because he had already aged out of it by the time production picked up. So she says, or Hardwick says, she got a call about a guy in London. Mm-hmm. She says, I looked at a couple pictures and was like, I'm not sure. He had been fired from his last job. He was unemployed and he was in debt. He flew to Los Angeles on his own dime to read with Stewart. Mm-hmm. Shiloh Fernandez, Jackson Rathbone, Ben Barnes, and Robert Pattinson were the final four.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And then... Kristen was the reason he got the role. Hardwick did not initially choose Robert Pattinson for the role of Edward Cullen, but after an audition at her home with Stewart, he was selected. Hardwick said Kristen was like, it's got to be Rob. She felt connected to him from the first moment, that electricity mm-hmm. or love at first sight, whatever it is. Hardwick gave him the part, but he had to make a promise. Okay, now this part is just fucking, to me, is just kind of gross. Hardwick says, she said to Robert Pattinson, mm-hmm. you've got to realize that Kristen is 17 years old. She's underage. You've got to focus, dude, or you're going to be arrested. I made him swear on a stack of Bibles. What the fuck is that, dude?
Wow.
And they did start dating within that film. They say that they waited. Also, Kristen Stewart so famously has cheated on two of her partners. She dated Michael Aaron Garneau. I think that's how you say his name. He was in Lords of Dogtown. I can't remember his other big stuff, but he was in Sky High. That's right. He was the lead in Sky High, how I know him. They dated for like four years and they broke up because Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart were dating. And then Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart broke up because she had an affair with the director of the Huntsman movie.
Oh,
wow.
So, and now she's like famously, I was definitely confused because I am a gay woman. So it's like, sure. Yeah. You probably were really fucked up and had a tough time coming out, especially with Twilight being your body of work. And like, as you said, Chase, Robert Pattinson is like, okay, I'm now rebelling against this movie that I did and just doing quality stuff because that was because I can't even imagine you sign up for that. So that was probably about 7 years of their lives, five movies.
Well, and signing up for it at her age, 17, like,
yeah. Like, how do you deal with that mentally? Like, I think they knew that the movie would be fine, but I don't think they predicted I don't know if it was bigger than Harry Potter, but like the fanfare and like the intensity of the fans was maybe a little bit more scary because it was like middle-aged women who were I can't imagine being a part of something like that and like dealing with that while also discovering who you are as a person. That's a nightmare.
Yeah, right. Yeah, totally.
But he almost got fired too. I forget why, but he almost got fired in the beginning of the movie because he was like just being a jackass on set. Because Pattinson? He was like, yeah, oh, I can't remember why. It's I'm sure it's somewhere on the internet, but I don't have the time.
I think there's something about him being an alcoholic or something, and I think he might be.
But he's also a wacko. Like, he's in interviews. He's just like, he just seems like an incredibly like weird dude. So every interview, he's just like, oh, you know, he's just aloof and weird. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, yeah, how he can control that to be a good actor.
Most actors are.
That's true. That's true. Hmm. But yeah, it's just such an odd film. And like, my God, the end, you're right, with Radiohead, and like the final scene with the other vampire lady just being like, walking, I know where they are. Yeah. Why not do it? Open season. Why?
Yeah, that was so weird.
There was a scene after the credits.
No, they just have the vampire girlfriend of the guy they killed.
Oh yeah, she just like looks through the window, turns around, and basically smiles into the camera, and then we follow her walking.
Right.
Down the stairs.
Yeah, that was so weird. No reason. I imagine that it like kind of picked up in the second one, but I guess not.
No, it doesn't come back until the third, because in the second one, he worries so much that she's got this scar from where he had to suck the venom out. And like, he's like, oh, she's going to be in such trouble as long as she knows me. So he leaves. The whole movie in the second one is
her and Jacob, right?
Her and Jacob like bonding. But like Kristen Stewart, there's one shot where they have her sitting in a chair and they just do like a circular, I don't know what that kind of shot is, like a dolly just moves around her, and we see a new season pass. So we see a full year of her life just staring out, so depressed about this. That was also another issue about this movie. It's like, oh my God, he's not that cool.
But, no, like, get over it.
Yeah, they don't bring back the cliffhanger of the first movie until the third movie. Similar, like the books are the same. It's like, why did we wait on this? What's the point here?
Yeah.
So stupid.
Well, you know, the only thing I can think of why she like was so hung up on him is that every other boy in that high school was a dork.
Absolutely.
Like just like obnoxious dork.
Yeah.
The kid shakes his hat. How are you liking the rain, fella? Yeah, like, what's wrong with you? That's so rude.
My favorite one was when they're at the garden place and she walks out and the dude just has a worm on a stick and shows in her face.
Like, it's a worm.
Like, okay, guy.
I'm like, I know high school is stupid, but I'm like, people are not this dumb. Right? Like, what is this?
And this is what immortals have chosen to do with their lives.
Keep reliving. Yeah.
No.
I stand by it.
Okay. Well, we have discussed this at length.
I'm so sorry.
No. This is great.
I love it.
Great.
More content.
There's no such thing as going over for us, and you have been great. And we've broken this thing down more than I thought we ever would be able to.
Yeah, I'm surprised at how much we got.
And we really,
I have so much more to say too. So yeah, stop now.
That's the thing, is that I defy anyone to find a more comprehensive breakdown of this fucking movie out there on the internet right now. Yep. And so thank you, Christine, for that.
Good luck.
And guess what? Yeah, exactly. And guess what? We still have a few segments to do here. We got to get into some. Numbers. What do you want to do first? Numbers or ratings?
Yeah, let's do numbers.
We're going to get into some numbers, okay? So, Christine, you're a first-time guest, but also already a fan favorite, as everyone knows.
Thank you so much to
yes,
all the
ma'am,
listeners.
Of course. But how this works is we break down usually it's the weekend, opening weekend, and then the domestic, and then the worldwide totals. And each one of you takes a guess at what the numbers was, okay? So simple enough.
Okay, cool.
But this one, we are in luck because we have a couple more stages of the box office that we can guess here, okay? So let's see. Okay, we're going to do opening night.
Oh,
okay.
Like the midnight show?
The midnight showings. They have that number.
First midnight showing one.
Then we're going to do opening day, the total for that opening day. Okay. Then we're going to do weekend. Then we're going to do domestic. And then we're going to do international.
All right.
Okay.
Nice.
So, whoever wants to go first, what is your guess
for the budget?
Opening the midnight showing, the estimated budget of this film was $37 million.
Okay.
Which is kind of low.
I think the next ones were way higher.
That's one of the things that I noticed on the other ones is that they look more expensive, but it's not spent right. Like, you could tell that, like, every time there's a problem, they just threw money at it.
Right.
Yeah, the CGI is still not the best.
Well, and if I was the actors, I'd been like, if you want me to come back for this shit, you better pay me
and the,
a lot
the,
more.
The Renesmee baby, I know, went through several iterations, and it's
still
the one
terrible.
The one they ended up with is still pretty awful.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But
it's an awful baby.
An awful baby. Someone needs to drop kick that thing into the fire, right? Yeah.
The best. I wish.
Okay.
She sucks.
Literally. Okay.
So, blood. all right. So, opening or midnight.
Okay. Midnight showings. I'm going to say it made.
Okay. Chase is not letting the guest go first. Okay. Pretty rude.
That's fine.
But,
I would like to hear his guess.
Chase, go for it.
I'm going to say 7 million.
Honestly, I was going to say 6 or 7. I'll go with 6 then, because although it broke records, I think, because this was one of the first midnight ones.
I mean, yeah, other than like Star Wars and Harry Potter, true. I think. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go 10.
Okay. Well, Chase, I apologize, Kristen. You overshot it. And Chase, I begrudgingly give you a...
Excuse.
Because you are spot on, and now I believe you are cheating.
7 million?
Yeah, I believe you are cheating.
Dead on 7 million. Dead on 7 million. 7 million something.
No, 7 million.
What's on your computer screen, Chase? Is it the box office for opening night?
This is notes, but it doesn't mean he didn't look this up already. And I did this to him before.
I did this to him before.
Okay, and he could be getting beamed back, Christine. So I apologize for his shenanigans.
That's okay.
It's very rude to do when we have a guest on the show. Okay. All right. Well, moving on. Let's see. Oh, there's only one way to find out. Moving on.
All right.
What is your guess for opening day? For the entirety
of the
opening day,
I'm going to go, is this just domestic?
Yes.
Okay. I'll go, if it was 7, I'll go 15 for 21.
Yeah, okay. I mean, if it was 7 million, but I'm going to double it. I'm going to take the 15.
Because I think that you're right.
I think that I it's not like going to do that much better. I think that if you went and saw it on midnight, you didn't go again for another week, probably. So I think I'm going to go with 15 and say 15 million.
Okay.
Smart. I just had to go with my heart.
Well, then, and Christina, I apologize, you can't hear this, but Chase, you get... both of you really get a
piece of shit.
Because you're both wrong. Okay.
Four pieces of shit. I like my cue better.
We have, you'll hear Christine, but we have sound cues. He has his when it's my turn to guess.
Sure.
They're very nice. And I'm just kind of, I don't have one, so I'm kind of doing a makeshift thing here.
I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah. And I played a sound bite that I have on my board where it just says piece of shit. So if you get it wrong, that's your sound bite. So both of you got it wrong. However, Christine wins this round because she is closer. The opening day gross was 35.7 million. Yeah.
God. That's way
big
more
jump.
Than I thought.
Yeah.
That is like 4 times the midnight showing.
Yep. And also kudos to you, Chase. I don't know if you flubbed that one on purpose to kind of throw me off your trail. I still am suspicious maybe you cheated a little bit, but we'll see. I am relieved that you did get that one wrong. Okay, so let's do opening weekend.
All right, so opening weekend. So it made 35.7
on the first day.
Okay, so that includes the 7. I'm
right,
sure.
Okay, right.
So 35 million. Let's say 40.
And this is just U.S. and Canada.
Yeah, so let's say that's going to be like 50 million, and then another, so let's say like 57 million.
Okay. Christine?
I'm going to say 45.
Ooh.
Both of both pieces of shit.
Yeah, both of you low. Chase actually wins this round.
Damn.
Because the opening weekend was 69.6 million.
Man.
A great went with number. Half, very half funny.
Each day went half. So.
Yep.
Unless that was a 4-day weekend, which then would have.
Yeah, I think it was, like a Thursday midnight release kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure it was the summertime, maybe Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Right. Classic opening for those teen movies.
Okay, are you guys ready to take a stab at the gross?
So is this
the domestic gross?
U.S. and Canada?
U.S. and Canada. Right. The total domestic gross.
All right, Christine, I'll let you go first.
275.
Okay.
Right. Man, I mean,
because that's all time, right?
For just U.S. and Canada, yes.
I mean, 250.
Okay.
That, I mean, you're getting into like Titanic numbers with that.
But they made five of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to look up the last ones. I'm not looking up this one. I want to look up how much the last one.
I think that the other ones probably did better.
Sure.
The further it goes on. But so I think it's, I'm just going to undershoot it a little bit. Because I think worldwide it probably top 250. So I think it's just 200.
You know, both of you are wrong.
Damn it.
But I will kind of give Chase a...
got a terrific penis.
Because he... by the way, the winning soundbite, Christine, is Larry
you
David.
You are not?
It's Larry David saying, got a terrific penis. That's the winning soundbite. Okay, so I got to give him one of those because he was pretty close. Even though you both technically lose Price is Right rules.
All right.
Chase, you were only $7 million off. It grossed $193.9 million. So about $6 million off. Yeah. But that's just US and Canada. Okay, so the final round here, we have total gross worldwide.
And I have to say right now, and this is gonna be a shock, when I looked this film up on Wikipedia to look at the runtime, I did see the total worldwide gross. So I have to abstain. Chase, this is four. I had to be honest. The other ones, I truly did not know the domestic, but I had to, you know, clear conscience. And Chase, if you do win, I'll Venmo you $5.
All right. I gotta say.
Go on, Chase.
$638 million.
Are you sure this is $5 on the line?
This is five fucking dollars, dude. Are you locking this in?
So clearly, I'm off on that.
I'm not saying that.
No, she does. Yeah, she does.
I'm going to say $638 million.
All right, Christine, you already know, so just say it with me.
Peace.
You are a piece of shit. Thank God I don't have $5 on Venmo. My bank will not connect. That's not a joke.
That's right. Oh, wow. So it was $408 million.
That's surprising to me based
on... That is surprising to me, too.
Like you'd think, because I looked up Breaking Dawn Part 2. They're worldwide. I mean, hey... Should I hold it? Am I coming back to do all the films? Like y'all have already seen them, but
yeah, we gotta get other people because I want to talk about the rest of them.
I won't tell you the gross, but yeah, it's definitely staggering. Like I'm shocked it made as much money because everybody was already like, these suck.
Yeah, so. I mean, but anytime you got like that's why they keep making sequels because they stop making them when A, they run out of material, obviously, but B, if they don't make money. So like they just kept making money.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
You're right.
All right. Well, that was numbers.
So ratings.
Now we need to do ratings.
Okay, perfect.
And Christina, I believe you're familiar. So you guys go ahead and do the rounds. Let's hear your ratings.
All right.
Sure. What do you got?
You want to go first?
So I have four different ratings on this film.
Oh, wow. Okay.
These are different aspects of it. So I'll start with.
Wow, this is a change. This is a game changer. I like this.
She comes prepared. Yeah. She comes prepared.
Hell yeah.
This is one specific to the directorial choices in the editor's bay. I'd say 10 out of 10 needless Dutch angles in this film. A lot of tilts. I did not enjoy it. I was like, why are we doing this? We're in biology class. I'm not interested in it.
Yeah.
So that's number one. I think I might have to change a rating on this one. Nope, I'll keep it at where it is. But that's number one.
Okay, tight.
Yeah. Do you want me to go through?
Oh, yeah, give it. Yeah, give it. Okay, perfect. Chase don't have four. You know,
perfect.
Oh, yeah.
So the second one is also a 10 out of 10 for awkward and unclear motivations for conversations between characters.
Yes.
Let's see.
I can't read. 11 even.
Yes. I'd give this one, okay, so this one's an 8 out of 10 in Vampire Sparkles because I enjoyed it when they showed it, but they dropped it completely.
Yeah.
I think they should have kept it every time there's a ray of sun.
Yeah.
And this is my last one because, you know, I don't think they did a good job on this, but for the reason of what the rating is. I kept it right at a 5 out of 10 for towing the line between serious and silly, because they really didn't make a choice here for me. So I also had to not make a choice on what the rating is. So I gave it a 5 out of 10.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
that's a meta rating almost. You know?
It really is. Man, yeah. I got, oh man, out of 10, this is my overall rating. So okay. Out of 10, smelly blooded women.
Smelly blooded.
out of 10 cold ones.
Yeah.
Out of 10, no, the real thing though, out of 10 terrible, unexcusable wigs for something with a large budget.
Yeah. Yep.
Just terrible Native American wigs on a non-Native American boy.
Yeah, there you go.
I have to give this movie a 3. This movie is garbage.
I'm surprised it's that high, to be honest. I thought this might have been our first ever 1. From you.
It really is a 1, but like I did have fun talking about it. But like, man, this movie is
points for experience.
Just awful.
The holistic experience, I appreciate that.
I'm glad that I did not see this one before I saw the other ones, because there's no way I would have watched the other ones.
Right. Yeah.
This one is so unwatchable.
Yeah.
And just like so bad. I mean, it's paced poorly, it's acted poorly, it's written poorly. Everything about it is not fun.
Right.
And not good. You know? Yeah. But you know, if you're, it worked, man. It hit a chord with people.
Yeah.
Just not me.
Yep. And I would, to wrap it up, I know everyone is curious. I would obviously, this should come as no surprise, give it a 15 out of 10. I thought it was fantastic. And there's no other movie that has been made that is greater than this movie ever. So,
yeah.
Thank you for your candor.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll just leave that at that. Okay.
All right.
All right. So, we only have one segment left. Unless I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, Chase, but no. I believe it is the, and Christine, I apologize, you won't hear this.
Reboot.
Okay. I am a piece of shit.
The reboot recast, the moment everyone's waited for. Again, you can follow us before we get into this. You can follow us on at the Movie Gap on all of our socials. You can also now find us on the Cross the Streams Media webpage.
Yeah, go to crossthestreams.com, click on shows, and the Movie Gap.
And that is where that is going to be our hub for suggestions.
Yeah, you can get to all of our social media and our YouTube page.
Yes.
All through that. So check
so
that out.
Go there, leave us a voicemail, give us a suggestion on your reboot recast or what you thought about ours. Tell us that we're trash.
The live voicemail feature. There's now a feature. You go on our site, you click on the little microphone in the bottom right hand corner, and you can record a voicemail that we can play on the podcast.
That's right. That's right.
Would never open myself up to that. Sensitive. So God bless you.
I can't wait. We are going to play literally anything that people say this, so within, it's gonna be reason. Fun.
I'm excited.
I can't wait until Mel Gibson leaves us one.
Oh yeah.
Let's do this. The reboot recast. Oh, also, this will be our Patreon is live as well, I believe, right now. And
you can find that on crossthestreamsmedia.com. Yep,
and sign up for that. And under certain tiers, we will read your reboot recast.
Ooh.
Okay. So, so you can do that there as well. Now. Guys, what do you think? This is a doozy, and this is going to be difficult. You know, we, Chaz, you and I always have a hard time with this age group because we don't know any actors. I mean, I'm going to say Zac Efron. Just, you know, that's going to happen.
Yeah, no, that's
He's way too old.
Like, I'm screwed. I'll say Dylan. Ooh, actually, that's good. Dylan Cole. No, Sprouse.
Dylan Sprouse.
Dylan Sprouse.
Edward.
Very hunky.
Edward.
Hunky and famous.
That's it. Edward.
That's just mine. Edward, do you recast?
Mine. No, let's break it down.
So I'm going to tell you something. This may sound crazy. I'm ignoring age at this point because the suspension of disbelief is already gone.
Oh, you and Chase
gone.
Are about to fight. You and
so
Chase.
I am going to, I think if there's a reboot recast, I hope in the reboot they're going to just tell it as like a love story. Maybe let's put them in college. Let's put them in grad school if we need them to be in school. But really, do they need to be in school? No. I want to keep Kristen Stewart and our Pats at the helm. I want to recast all of the supporting roles because I think the Cullen siblings are all terrible.
Yeah.
And if I hear them or meet them in my lifetime, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, but they're really, really bad.
Right.
But I think I say that because I think Kristen Stewart now has aged into herself as an actress. Like the past three movies I've seen with her, Seaburg, I didn't finish Seaburg. Charlie's Angels and The Happiest Season.
I feel like she's
more human now. She can kind of like get rid of some of her old tropes that people knew her for, but she's also doing a Princess Diana biopic coming up, and I'm very thrilled about it.
Is she Princess Diana?
Good. Yeah.
She's going to do a British accent.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I'm nervous about that.
Which, yes. They don't give her a fake nose, though, so I'm like, I think they're playing it pretty well so far. But
yeah.
The other thing is Arpats. So the reason why I keep him, I saw the movie The Lighthouse. Have either of you seen this movie?
I have not seen it yet.
That is nuts.
Now, Chase, I viscerally hated this film.
You absolutely should.
Terrible experience.
Yeah.
I thought it was a plot that was like gratuitous and needless and a waste of my time.
Oh,
that being said, the performances given by Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson were unparalleled.
Yeah.
Impressive, amazing performances. I still hated the movie so much, but I'm like, that was just amazing. Their back and forth, his ability. So I'm like, okay, get us a good director, get us in maybe a closer to realistic, like Interview with a Vampire, like get us somewhere where like Harry Potter, like prestige of Marvel, get us there and then have them take the helm and still have some fun with it and recast the rest. Cause the rest of it, those are the most egregious to me. But I want to see them come back and come together as, you know, reunite and make peace. That's what I really want.
Okay,
I want them to make peace, but also they probably shouldn't.
I would love to see the director, I would love to see the director of The Lighthouse take a pass at the script and then make it.
Whoa.
He is the director from, The Witch.
Right. Yeah. I didn't like that movie that much.
Really? I love it. Oh, yeah, but it's both of those are rough watches.
Sure.
Especially The Lighthouse. Ooh, it's so good.
It's in 4:3 too, if I remember correctly. Which,
yeah.
This far, 4:3 is a directorial choice. It's weird. It sucks. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Come on.
4:3, is that the
it's
box?
It's like 16 That's millimeter, the TV? Yeah.
Really?
It's the TV.
The whole movie is like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think Zack Snyder saw it and was like, okay,
well,
I'm
Zack
in a
Snyder,
tour now.
His was, yeah, I know, fuck that. But
wait, the entire Justice League was like that?
He did it with because of the IMAX cameras in that perspective.
Oh.
Which like was bullshit because it was all green screen, it doesn't matter. Never mind. The Snyder
the whole
cut
thing
overrated.
Is in the square?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, four and a half hours of a superhero movie in a square?
I looked at the Wikipedia, there's six narrative acts and an epilogue, and I said, I'm not going to bed.
No, it is.
God.
If you saw the original version,
I will never waste my time watching
it. If you saw the original version of it, you're fine. It's not any better than that. It's worse than that because it's longer and it's just it's a mess. It's a mess totally.
Oh my
it's
goodness.
Not good. It's not even
Right.
And I'm not alone in thinking that, and there's a lot of people that do love it, and you know, like it's America. They could be wrong. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
And I will sit on the team of you're all fools for even watching it in the first place.
No, I feel like an absolute fool for watching. I still haven't. I haven't watched the epilogue yet because I ran out of time. It took me 7 hours to get through the first 3.5 hours of it, and I keep like rewinding it because I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like I would be watching it and like just like reading a book where you like. All of a sudden, I'll read 20 pages and be like, oh, I have not been paying attention.
Yeah.
I go back. That was this movie.
Wow.
But
so bad.
I mean, I guess it's the same because like I watched all the Marvel movies. I like them. But like, I guess the Avengers would have been complicated if you haven't seen anything. But with the Justice League and DC stuff, it's like, this seems like even if you were paying attention,
but
this
there
is
was,
very confusing.
There was no lead in. Those were the movies. Like that was the third one. It was Superman.
Uh-huh.
It was the
Batman
Superman
versus
Superman. Batman. And then it was the Justice League. I think, well, maybe the Wonder Woman had come out already, but
they
like
didn't have
Aquaman
any crossover.
And all that other stuff,
it's like, what?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. They rushed the whole thing to get to that point, and like the script is not there even afterward. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's just bad, man. It's just.
I'm excited to finish it with it just playing in the background while I'm in my phone on my phone.
All right, guys. Well, I think that we did it.
We did it.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Christine, do you want to give us any last plugs before we sign off here?
Plug, sure. Follow me at I Hate Christine 2, the number 2, on all socials. All one word, at I Hate Christine. I'm on Twitter. I tweet a lot. And I'm on Instagram. I Instagram a lot. Not really. And then my dog's Instagram is at talented_Mr. Ripple. My dog's name is Ripple. He's a little Australian dog and he's here in the United States. He's excited to be here, assimilating well. And then my podcast, Wines, Wines, Wines. You can find it anywhere you can listen to podcasts except for Stitcher because we are not paying for that shit. Wines, Wines, Wines.
Awesome.
There you go.
All right. Hell yeah. You guys fucking check that shit out, Christine. Again, so great to see you after all these years. And
it's a pleasure.
It's been
Bryce,
a pleasure truly. Catching up. And thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah.
It has been great.
Definitely we'll have to have you back on. This has been super fun.
I got to get you guys on the pod. I haven't done Double Trouble yet, two guests. So get you slammed, okay. Get you wasted on the pod. That's all the best part about it.
Yeah, we can make that happen. I think so.
Heck yeah.
Okay, well, if that's without further ado, there's only one thing left to say.
Nom in space. And we're clear.